Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels, Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41, Sports Director, hanging out with us, presented by Empower Payments. Why settle for ordinary merchant services when you can give to charity with every transaction with Empower Payments? Visit EmpowerPayments.com today for more information. 913-912-4810. Tech says, you had an opening on your show. Why didn't you hire Lance Leipold or Chris Klieman? That's a good point. Yeah, that's great. We were talking about Scott Drew is meeting with Kentucky, according to John Rothstein, not today, but in the near future. And somebody tweeted and said, Scott Drew just tweeted out a picture of him with a booster at lunch. Like, oh, well, maybe he's trying to get a little more money, but John Rothstein's saying eventually he's going to meet
him
with
a booster seat.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, yeah, so he's sitting with a booster at lunch.
He's in the chair.
It's a back issue that he's dealing with.
His legs are just dangling there.
Hey, everybody. You should come to Baylor. It's going to be a fun time. It was weird. I'm just now imagining him in this oversized chair with these small little legs. But we were talking about if there was an opening at Baylor. And I said, well, if there's an opening, you do have to include Chris Klieman and Lance Leipold, because if there's a job opening, you have to talk about them.
You do.
No matter what the job opening
is. Doesn't matter the sports.
Yes. I think the list includes, like, Jerome Tang.
Because, I mean, anything
Bryce Drew,
is better than coaching KU football.
Lance Leipold.
State football. I mean, you
Chris
just
Klieman,
can't get the recruits there.
Maybe Eli, but he's
right.
Been so successful.
Yes.
We're talking about the Baylor basketball job.
We have an opening for an MMJ, which is a multimedia journalist, which means you shoot your own stories.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm good.
We're sifting through resumes, and we saw Leipold's and Klieman's.
That's cool, man. Tech says missing the tournament 8 times is a huge blow to Dan Hurley's argument. Well, I mean, that's why I didn't.
So what's this?
Okay,
I'm deciding between.
So we in the 11 o'clock hour, it was 11 o'clock hour because Jack was in with us. So we went through, we did top five, but the big argument was number one. It ended up being, I didn't know that it was going to be that, and it wasn't really an argument. It was just a discussion. I don't know why I called it an argument. All right, it was a knockdown, drag-out fight. It was a ladder match is what
voices
it ended up being.
Were raised.
No, it was a ladder match. That bat was used on somebody's to the side of their school. It was a little extreme, but Sterling wanted to let everybody know, I'm new here, but I'm going to fight the biggest dude in the yard.
Yeah.
Just to let everybody know
and
I'm not
Jason,
scared.
Who's the biggest? Is that you just based on well, he's bigger.
It's
like
Dylan.
He's bulkier. Yeah, he's stronger, but you're taller. So how does that break down?
It's Dylan. I'm answering you. It's Dylan. He's the biggest one. There's no more debate. But here's what we did, Mick. We went through our top five coaches if you're an AD right now. And they would say yes. So you've got the opening. Who would you hire? The top five calls. I didn't realize that with Sterling – and then with Dylan and Jack being, you know, KU guys.
Who's Jack?
Jack Johnson.
Oh, okay.
You're
he was
sitting
here earlier.
On him. It's the imaginary
you're sitting
friend. Yeah.
He was actually
Jason's
sitting there with his legs were dangling.
That's happened before where I've looked at there's an intern just sitting right there. So quiet.
And then we had Myron on at noon, and he also, so it was 4-1. He went Dan Hurley number one. I went Bill Self one, Dan Hurley two. Not wanting to be a prisoner of the moment, and the longevity and consistency of Bill Self for a long time and never missing the tournament. Top three seeds every year, or four seeds, whatever you want to call it.
I also love that 2K, you guys, and then Myron said Dan Hurley as well, yet I'm
the only one.
Like, of
and
course,
I said Bill Self.
And they're like, of course, the Mizzou guy. And I'm like, what?
I said Bill Self. Yeah, it's great. But my top five ended up being Bill Self, and then sort of 1 and 1A, Dan Hurley, but then Kelvin Sampson, Scott Drew, and Bruce Pearl. So we sort of talked about the other ones. But the real debate was Dan Hurley versus Bill Self. Who are you hiring? Myron said, I don't really think it's close. I'm calling Dan Hurley. I'm like, well, I'm calling Bill Self right now. Still, a couple more years, that may change. But I've got a 20-year track record
with
Bill.
Depends on the question, right? If it's who are you hiring and you want somebody there for a long time, you might want to go with Dan Hurley because he's 11 years younger than Bill Self. If you're talking like who's the best coach in college basketball, I'm with you there. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. What, Hurley had won a game. Well, I think he won
he had one tournament win
before these last two
before
years.
The last 2 years. He was like 1-3 in the tournament before
and
these
so,
last 2 years.
Yeah, I don't think that compares to what 20 straight years now at KU making it, and he was winning for 7 or 8 years before that with three other programs.
And he's got 20 conference regular season championships, yeah. Bill Self does, and he's 61 years old.
He's averaging 29 wins a year. Like, so dude, if the question is, who's the best coach right now, I'm still going with Bill Self over Dan Hurley. But if, like, okay, I've got this job and I want somebody for the next 10 to 15 years, I'm going with
and
Dan.
And that's the question. The question, yeah. It's not what has he done, it's what are you going to do?
I throw the fence there, guys. Right?
Yeah, no.
It was very good.
And that's what I tried. I said Bill Self, too.
Sterling said he hates Bill Self.
I love Bill Self.
He would never put Bill Self in his top.
I wish he was the Missouri head coach.
He put him 101st.
Listen,
we did top 100.
Don't say dumb stuff like that. Missouri would have never had the shot at Bill Self.
Don't say that. Missouri would never hire Bill Self.
They
would never hire Bill Self or John Calipari.
They've proven that. Or
they proved
that they would not hire Bill Self.
They proved they will not hire Bill Self. They also proved not once but twice they will not hire John Calipari.
Stop asking that question.
Or Brad Underwood or Bruce Pearl, who, of course, were almost all in somewhere in the top five.
Well, and Kelvin Sampson, because of, you know, that whole show cause thing, because they believed in Frank Haith. You know what? Damn it, Mike Alden had faith in Haith. Mm. So you're not going to go and hire Kelvin Sampson or Bruce Pearl with their show causes expiring. You're going to give one more year to Frank Haith, and you're going to say there needs to be urgency in this year. And then 2 weeks later, he's going to take the Tulsa job. Yeah. And Bruce Pearl and Kelvin Sampson have already been hired. But no big deal. No worries. Who really cares about that? Because we're talking about Dan Hurley and Bill Self. See, even including that, Mick, and here was my argument. Before last year, let's just say this. If Bill Self hadn't had the heart issue last year, I would probably be choosing Dan Hurley. Because I would have guessed Bill Self maybe 65, 66 is when he was done. But after last year, he's 61 years old.
So the heart issue because, made you want
yes,
to pick
because after last year, he said, there's nothing that's on my mind. Because he had said, I'm not going to coach till I'm 70. That was on record as saying,
like
I'm not going to coach.
He's 62 now, right?
He's 61. Yeah. Said, I'm not going to coach till I'm 70. And then last year, he backtracked off that after and said, I know what it's like to not coach. I have no idea what I would do. And it felt like a relighting of the fire to be a college coach, and talked about, you know, now that the black cloud is over, we're going to go for the throat and all of this stuff now for Bill Self. And I think this last year may, you know, color some way, you know, shape or form in a negative light with losing the way they did to Gonzaga and UConn going on this dominant run, that if Kevin McCullough had stayed healthy and if they make the Elite Eight or Final Four and you're like, okay, well, there's Bill Self still. If not for, in a very ironic way, Mick, if not for the heart issue that would make you think he'd be closer to retiring, made me believe that he's not going away anytime soon. And he's going to be coaching at KU for, you know, next 7-8 years. And I'm good with handing over the program to Bill Self for the next 7-8 years. And Dan Hurley, I'd be fine with, too. It was just the tiebreaker for me was the longevity and consistent success for Bill Self every single year.
I wonder if he's going to be more like the old guard, like the Roy Williams who got out with NIL. Like, I don't want to do this. Or more attached to the younger, more energetic, more active coaches to where like, okay, we can make this work, because at KU, at least we saw this year, you're a program that's going to get a star. You're going to get a star or two in the portal every year. But guys 6, 7, 8, 9 in your rotation might be jettisoning off, might be taken off.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that this year. They were very top heavy and they had zero bench. I wonder, I mean, it's just been 1 year. Yeah. I wonder if that's going to be a trend. And so I wonder in this argument if that plays.
He's not among the young, you know, coaches, the Nate Oates, right, of the world. And he's also, it feels like he's in a completely different generation and genre of coach than Tom Izzo. Like, Tom Izzo's 69 years old, Bill Self 61.
He's kind of in the middle.
So, like, he's 10 years older than Dan Hurley, but he feels closer to Hurley than he does Tom Izzo.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's 8 years younger than Tom Izzo. That's sort of the way that I view Bill Self. Like, he's not the young guard, he's not the old guard. I think he's got some. I think he's got a lot of years left.
Is that how you view Calipari as well? Who's 65?
No, I think Calipari feels older. He has aged like a president at Kentucky. he took a job that should only be done for 10 years, and he's coached 15 years there. And I don't think anybody should be at Kentucky longer than 10 years. I don't think you can. I think it you wear out too fast.
Term limits.
And yeah, 100%, man. You go from, you either leave the hero or you live long enough for them to run you out of town. You know, Tubby Smith won a championship immediately with Rick's players, but he still won a championship. 9 years later, had never gone back to a Final Four. Get the hell out. Doesn't matter that you won a championship.
So Rupp was there forever.
Rupp was there forever before it
Is
was
Cal
like.
Is Cal the next longest tenured head coach? Is longer than Patino, right? Longer than Eddie Sutton.
I think he was
there.
I think Joby Hall might have been there longer, but I could be way wrong about that. He was there longer than Billy Gillespie. So, and his 5 minutes that he was there. He might be the longest tenured. I just don't think it's a more than 10-year job. Whereas Bill Self has shown that, you know, all these years at Kansas, and he's still the same. He still looks almost the same
he did.
And maybe that's just his sort of general disposition and Cal being sort of a star that burns from both ends. Like, he's burning both ends of the wick, it feels like Calipari does.
It's like Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's age, you're like, no, that guy's way younger. Mm-hmm. And then people look at Andy Reid because he's a sturdy fella, and they're like, oh, I'm saying national media. Uh-huh. They're like, oh, well, he's only got a couple years left. Well, no one said anything about Pete Carroll not getting a new job. No one said anything about Bill Belichick not getting a new job. But because Andy Reid likes a couple burgers here and again, all of a sudden that means he's almost at the end of his career.
Joby Hall was there 13 years. But he was also there 12 years previous with Rupp as an assistant. Only 8 years for Patino at Kentucky. Taking over for Eddie Sutton. And building that program, so yeah, I think Calipari feels a lot older to me than Bill Self does, even though it's what, 4 years? You said Calipari's
65.
He's 65 years old, so it's a 4 year difference.
Were they both on the staff year at KU that 85 year where Calipari always loves to tell the story about? Would you like peas with that? He would serve the players food.
Yeah, and maybe it's because Calipari went to a Final Four at UMass, and he's been to the NBA, and he's been successful at Memphis, where
he was
Bill
on the
Self
scene
was coming
more than
through
Self
with
was
Earl
earlier.
Roberts and Tulsa, and then Illinois can't get past, and then Bruce Weber
wasn't
coach
on the scene to about 2001 with that great Illinois team that got better and better, and then he came to KU.
Bruce Weber showed you how you got to a Final Four.
That's
Bruce
exactly
Weber,
it.
Better coach than Bill Self. He took Hizen and made him better than Yersin.
Yersin.
That's what Bruce Weber did to Bill Self. So finally they got a coach that knows how to get past the Elite Eight in Bruce Weber. That's what they needed at Kansas. I've said it all along. Hire Bruce Weber at Kansas. That's what I've said. I really wish they would have.
Wonder who.
I stand on that, by the way.
I
wish KU would have hired Bruce Weber.
Is the next KU coach
Jay Wright? It's Jay Wright.
Have we heard of him? Have we heard of him? Is he a mainstream guy, or is he a great question, man. North Carolina, you know,
A&T,
Charlotte,
SMT.
Something like that. Yeah,
he's at William
Nick
and
Collison.
Mary right now.
Yeah. Nick Collison feels like the correct answer.
Is
it's going to be
is
Nick
he
Collison.
Wagner right now?
I think it's an absolutely great question.
That's the only questions I ask.
I think it's a stupid question, and nobody should even debate on what the answer is. Why?
It's a great question asked by a stupid person.
Blind squirrel, nut, all of that stuff. Because in Kentucky, you know, when Cal was there, it's like, how long does Cal have? Because, again, his star shines so bright, and it's going to burn out at this place. It's the perfect marriage that's filled with immediate passion that eventually you grow apart.
I don't think we've heard and of him. If he coaches another, just say it's 8 years. Say he coaches to 70.
But for so
eight
long.
Or 9 years. No, I don't think that guy's on the scene yet, and I don't think it's going to be anybody in the staff, right? He's had that same staff forever. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of career assistants. They love their life and their job and kind of their role and everything.
To your point, for every year it was, who's the next guy? Brad Stevens.
Eric Bieniemy.
Yes.
Eric Bieniemy.
But for years, Brad Stevens is the next guy. He'll take the Kentucky job from Butler. Mm-hmm. Then it went, oh, it's obvious, it's Jay Wright. Jay Wright's the guy. Now it's Scott Drew.
You're talking Billy, Kentucky.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so at Kentucky, because again, Cal, he's not going to last, you know, 10 years. You got to like 2019 or 20 with Calipari at Kentucky. Who's next? Brad Stevens. He'll leave Butler. Okay. No. Jay Wright, he'll definitely take the job. He turned down the 76ers twice to stay in Philadelphia. I don't think he's ready to go to Lexington when he can win national championship at Villanova. And he also doesn't want to coach college basketball anymore. What about Billy Donovan? You mean the guy that didn't like recruiting the way that it was and wanted to go to the NBA? That's where I'm like confused as to why everybody's like, oh, get Billy Donovan. He went to the NBA because he didn't want to recruit in college basketball.
Or NIL.
That's what coaches are leaving college basketball for now. Is he going to come back and be like, oh, hell yeah, now it's tougher. It's even worse. So I don't know the answer to that for Kentucky, and I certainly don't know the answer to that for Kansas. And I think you're right that it may be 8-9 years from now we're going,
well, I bet we've heard of the next Kentucky coach. I know we've heard of him.
Yeah.
Mick Schaefer.
Right. Do you want the job?
Vic Schaefer could be an option, right? Yeah, he jumps over from the women's side.
Yeah, Dawn Staley's been talked about, like on a legit standpoint, people have said, oh, does Dawn Staley want to make the jump with Kentucky? I mean, she's one of the best coaches in America.
I wonder if it would be more of a Dawn Staley the first time it happens, or if it's one of those bench coaches we have in the NBA, the ones that there's a handful now.
For the Spurs.
Yeah, the Spurs. I thought there was a couple others. I bet we see it at the NBA level before we see it at the college level.
I think so.
Was it Miles Simon?
Yeah.
Is he an assistant in the NBA still?
We're talking about females.
Excuse me.
Yeah, the female sort of bench
sick
assistants.
Burn there on Miles Simon.
Yeah,
stray there from Dylan.
Well, how about that Arizona beat KU? There it is.
I was thinking assistants.
Simon says championship, and Dylan's like, screw you, Miles but Simon. And
they
Billy
won't call
Packer
me Chris again.
Chrissy.
No, I bet we see that in the NBA before we see it in college.
I think so, too. And if Scott Drew doesn't take the job, I really don't know where they go, because then they would have to wait for – they'd have to know for a fact that Billy Donovan wanted the job, because you got to wait till the play-in tournament or whatever is over with the NBA, which the Bulls are going to be a part of. So that's like another week and a half or whatever you got to wait. And then if he says no, now you're talking about, like, you know, the NFL draft and you don't have a coach at Kentucky.
What's the is Big Blue Nation behind Scott Drew, you think?
No.
I don't think so.
No, not
it's
at all.
It's not a big enough name, even though he's won a national championship.
It's Dan Hurley and Jay Wright.
That's it.
Anything less is
so they're unrealistic, is what you're saying.
Of course they are. It's Kentucky.
That's why he said it's a 10-year job.
Well, I mean,
that's why it's a 10-year job.
Let's be real. It's Kentucky. All they have around there are bourbon tours. There's perpetually.
You going to knock the horse racing industry?
I love the bourbon industry. I love my trips down there, but I couldn't live down there.
What about the horse racing industry?
I love it. Yeah.
You don't even care about Keeneland and Churchill Downs? Look at you. Man.
I've been there.
Keeneland just opened up this weekend.
Wood
Look at
Bass
you.
Just... as well. I mean, it's Louisville. But,
right,
you know,
yeah. I mean, it's
wow, well, I guess I suck. Yeah. See you guys. And Jason's co-host lasted 3 days.
And gone, Sterling. And gone, Holmes. He's gone, Holmes.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, I mean they're crazy. I think every fan base has a percentage of crazy. I think their fan base has a larger percentage of crazy, and everybody in the state outside of the city of Louisville is a UK fan, so they have a larger fan base too. I don't know who the coach is if Scott Drew turns him down, because I don't know why Billy Donovan would go back to college when he left it for reasons.
Yeah,
like and maybe it's, you know, hey, Kentucky's different. Okay, well. Here's a little bit of inside information. He didn't play at Kentucky. I mean, he played for Rick Pitino at Providence. somehow there's this connection to Kentucky because of Rick Pitino. Mm-hmm. At Providence, not at Kentucky. So I don't know why he would return. Maybe he will, and maybe that's the home run that they go and get. But I'm doing what I can to hire Scott Drew, I guess, because if Nate Oates has told me no already, and Dan Hurley is clearly saying no, because he's also saying his wife is going to say no. I can't afford a divorce. I just now started making money. It's a great line by Dan Hurley. And Jay Wright ain't going back to the college game. So I really don't know. And I think 7 or 8 years, we may be in the same position with KU of, okay, Bill Self is looking at the next couple of years of stepping away. Who's that guy? Well, I don't know, because who knows where the money will be in college basketball at that point. Because that's where Kentucky is dealing in a different landscape than they were when Calipari at Memphis said, oh, yeah, I'll take the Kentucky job. Because you were taking the Kentucky job as a dream job, but also you're recruiting at Kentucky. Yeah. You're getting paid at Kentucky. Now, as I said, I think Calipari's the first NIL coaching change. Like, we talk about transfers in NIL. I think Calipari's the first NIL coaching change. Because Arkansas was able to rally their billionaire boosters to invest money where Kentucky boosters are sort of looking at and going, why am I going to give Cal more money to get players in here? He can't get it done in the tournament. Also, we're Kentucky. I'm not paying $1 million to get a point guard. We're Kentucky. And Arkansas is going, bleep this. We haven't won a championship since 94. We've got to the Elite Eight a couple times with Musselman. Before that was a train wreck with Mike Anderson and Pelfrey. What does it take for Calipari? NIL millions of dollars? Yeah, we got it sitting around in our side room.
A little coffer back here.
The East Wing will go there and grab some millions of dollars and take it out of the Walton Foundation or whatever, and we'll just give it to Calipari in Arkansas. Their boosters are motivated. So it's an NIL change for Calipari.
And look, if you can recruit everybody else's players, then the talent's going to be spread out, and the blue bloods aren't going to be as blue anymore. And we see, I mean, Baylor won, right? I mean,
well, if they're letting UConn into the blue bloods, what are we doing anymore? I mean,
right? But even before that, you have Texas Tech making a national championship game. Yeah. You have Virginia winning a national championship. Mm-hmm. You have these teams. It's not just this collection of
eight or ten teams. Played for a national title last
year. You have FAU in the Final Four. Yeah.
Miami was in the Final Four.
Yeah, you can do it anywhere, and so that's why it was always so hard to get inside a coach's head of like, okay, what does he value? Is it money? Is it where he lives? Right? Is it culture? Is it, you know, can he recruit? I'm gonna go back to money again because a lot of people with money. Is it the esteem? So many of those things. I wouldn't be surprised if Scott Drew's like, I've been here 20 years. This we love it here, right? I've raised my family here. I can win here.
I'm getting paid a lot of money.
And if I go to the tournament, win a couple games, it's great. People love it. We applaud it. We have our percentage of crazy fans, even in Waco, is much lower than a lot of these other places.
And our quality of life is pretty good here.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And I always talk about equity with coaches and how much equity you've built up in certain places. Scott Drew to get the Kentucky job.
He's a Supreme Court position. Lifetime for him at Baylor. Right?
Yeah, but to take the Kentucky job, he cashes in the equity.
Yeah.
So now he's back to zero with Kentucky because they don't give a bleep that you won a championship at Baylor. I'm cashing in the equity so I can get a better house. But now I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, paying all this money for this particular house. I'm sitting at zero now. The flip side of that is, and that's typically with every single, like Jerome Tang going to Arkansas would have been cashing in the equity that he had at Kansas State. And going to Arkansas where they don't care about what happened with Bruce Weber on the way out. They don't care about Bruce Weber's comments on the way out at Kansas State and what Jerome Tang did to sort of heal the wounds and let them know, no, we're on this level, okay? Don't listen to that jackass. We're good. The only spot in America for Jerome Tang that he wouldn't have to cash in the equity is Baylor. Because he would go there with the equity of Baylor and then them knowing what he did at Kansas State. And that is only if Scott Drew takes the job at Kentucky. And then if Baylor's first call is to Jerome Tang, and then if Jerome Tang's interested. I think he'd be interested, but I don't think it's a 100% that he would take the job at Baylor because I think he probably got some things figured out with the Arkansas courtship that now, okay, I've got final say in discipline matters. Hey, president of the university, I think Gene Taylor's a good dude. You think Gene Taylor's a good dude? Okay, so there was no reason to overstep Gene Taylor and myself. I think I'm a pretty good guy, too. So maybe let us handle these things moving forward. And you get that assurance, plus a new contract. Is it still enticing to go to Baylor? Yeah. Whereas if Arkansas didn't call first and Jerome Tang's sitting there and then Baylor comes calling and you haven't figured out the Richard Linton stuff, then I think he's gone.
And, I mean, look, in Manhattan, you need to make tournaments, right? Win games, win some. But if you embrace Manhattan, if you embrace K-State, that goes further than anywhere else, really. I mean, and so you turn down Arkansas, and if Baylor's open, the place you were at for 20 years, and you say, no, I'm here, this is home, I mean, he becomes a demigod there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can be a fiery guy like Frank Martin or a Ted Lasso-type coach like Jerome Tang. It doesn't matter. They'll embrace you if you embrace them.
Yeah, for sure. 913-912-4810. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. So so you went Bill Self. Smart. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back.
Continue. I went Bill Hurley.
Dan Self. Dan Self. Maybe it's his son. Maybe that's Maybe the that's answer. It. Maybe the that's the answer is Bill Self's son. He's going to take over the program.
Well, Dan Hurley's got a son, right? Played
sure.
for the team.
Yeah, he's the one that's dribbled the basketball the last 2 years, the championship basketball. He's out there. Dan Hurley's son is the last one dribbling the ball in the last two national championships.
Is anyone in here, like, hucking up a shot, by the way, if you're Dan Hurley's son and you've got kind of some, you know, immunity?
You got some equity, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm Caitlin Clark in that. Shot.
Yeah,
like I'm
yeah.
shooting from
right. I'm bringing
well
it,
down.
And what I'm doing is I'm dribbling down the opposite side of the bench.
Yes,
oh, I'm yeah, dribbling yeah. down the left side of yeah. the court, going right to left. The left side of the court, and then not even looking that way, and then pulling up from three, and I'm chucking. Because if I dribble down the right side, Dad's yelling.
No, you point first. Let him know that that you're now taking over. You point at Dad and say.
But if you point at Dad, the referee launching. Might think you're calling a timeout because a lot of times they get across half court and point at the referee and they call a timeout.
Yeah,
now you're really playing with
tough,
fire because
yeah.
these refs don't really know what a foul is and what's not a foul. You're expecting them not to look at you and say you're calling a timeout. Patrick Mahomes said, let's huddle, and they called a timeout. That's the NFL ref. Okay. But
tough
of course,
affair. Yeah.
And they're the
yeah.
best in the business.
Unmatched. They're the best in the NFL business.
Those are the best referees that are getting paid by the NFL to referee.
Of the referees out there, they are definitely some of them.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Women's National Championship game, 4 million more viewers than the men's National Championship game.
I lost a bet on that.
You lost money, Mick.
I did. On with my buddy. He's an Iowa fan. He's like, Women's National Championship game is going to be more. I'm like, I don't think so. So we bet. And what I didn't realize is that the women were going to be on broadcast and the men were going to be on straight cable.
They were on straight cable 2 years ago, and the women were on ESPN. But nobody really, you know what? The men last year were on CBS, and the
CBS
women were,
last year,
and the women
and
were on
14,
ABC. It was
14 to 9 or
to like
that.
10. It was 9.9, so like 14.7 to let's say 10 if we're going to round up both. But it doubled, quite literally doubled from ABC to ABC from 2023 to 2024. They were on ABC. Both years, it went from 9.9 to 18.9 from year over year.
At a bad time of day, too. I mean, it's a 2 o'clock tip. Granted, it's on a Sunday, but not prime time.
Can't be worse than 8:20 at night.
Oh,
I
God,
mean,
yeah, that didn't help my bet. And
brutal,
with like
ridiculous.
UConn just running away from things at 10 o'clock, I'm like,
well,
okay, I'm done.
We sort of talked about it at different points this season. I brought it up with Myron because Myron, back in January, we were talking about Caitlin Clark and LSU and the things that were going on, and he's like, look, I wouldn't be surprised if this year the women get more viewers than the men's. And we were talking about what the perfect storm would be. Caitlin Clark would have to play in the national championship. It'd have to be whether it's against LSU or UConn, mm-hmm. or if South Carolina was on another historic run, like they lost to Iowa last year, and they get revenge to be undefeated again.
So, like, all of that happened, basically.
Yeah, right, I know. And so those were the things we were talking about, and I was like, you know, the flip side is you may also need, like, a UConn, San Diego State or something like that. That secondary part didn't need. They got the UConn-Purdue that
Purdue
people were
was
hoping
the one
was the matchup.
Seed, but not like, you know,
but it was the one
sexy
matchup people were hoping.
Seed.
Yeah. They were hoping that it was Purdue and
I
UConn.
I guess maybe us around here, but I don't know.
I think like, nationally.
Like East Coast, like, oh, thank God, we get to see the Boilermakers.
Well, I think it's more of, thank God, maybe we get to see somebody that can hang with UConn. These are the two best teams, and without Shed, when Shed is injured, then Houston's not there. So
it's the same thing as the women's game. It was a dominant player on the losing team against a dominant team with just no holes.
Yeah. I thought, you know, going into it, there would be a chance that they would have more viewers. I didn't think it'd be by 4 million.
No.
They're just crushing it. I don't know that it'll be the same thing for like the WNBA. I'll say this, like there are times when my wife and I and my son, we would adjust our schedule to watch an Iowa game if Caitlin Clark was on, or USC to watch Juju, or K-State because of the Twins. Like we would adjust our schedule. I'm not going to adjust my schedule for a WNBA game if Caitlin Clark's playing in it. That's the difference, I would say, between the college. And if Caitlin Clark, can she do this for the WNBA? More, maybe. Maybe. But, I mean, she'll increase some eyeballs.
More exposure in college than WNBA,
yeah,
too.
But, but I'm not going to you know, move my schedule around to watch, you know, Angel Reese or something play in the NBA, in WNBA, where I might, my wife and I, oh, Juju's on tonight. Let's watch Juju play.
But I do think Iowa fans will continue to watch, because I still will occasionally follow Sophie Cunningham,
I hope so,
right, in the WNBA.
Yeah.
And for example, like Mizzou doesn't have a long litany of players, yeah, in the NBA, but like even like Michael Porter Jr., if he's on, I'm going to try and watch him. Like I do think if you are a
fan. Yeah, Calipari's won two championships, one at Kentucky and one with the Lakers with Anthony Davis. So just like Calipari, that's what he does. He watches his NBA teams out there that are playing.
But I do think with, like, with Iowa in general, that there are so many Iowa fans who were so invested in, yeah, every single game she played in.
Right.
I think that, yeah, continues. And again, it's not going to be the same viewership, obviously, but it's going to continue to grow. And that's all you can ask for, is the continued growth.
I think it's like that in every sport, right? Whether it's men's basketball, women's basketball, or even football. I mean, the more, at least around here, the more passion exists, mm-hmm, on the college side of things. It yeah, just really does. And you'll follow a guy wherever he goes to, you know, an NFL team for a little bit, but it's like you were saying, it's not appointment television.
But is it different when it's a role player versus a superstar or a focal point of a team? Because I think that could be a difference here, where if, for example, Caitlin Clark was just going to be a role player in the WNBA, well, maybe not. But if she's still going to be the focal point, I think people will still tune in to watch. I think it's the same thing, again, with Kansas players. Like, Nick Collison had a really good career, but if Nick Collison was LeBron James, I think every single KU, well, I guess maybe you can make the same case with Joel Embiid, though. Do Kansas fans tune in and watch Embiid games? But he wasn't there long enough.
He didn't play full season.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know if that's the same comparison then. Who was there 4 years? It would be like Nick Collison.
A Frank Mason or a...
Well, Perry Ellis was there 8.
Yeah.
But then there'd have to be a superstar. They would have to be the
Devontae Graham.
If you're a superstar, you're not going to be there for 3 or 4 years.
Exactly, and that's the issue here.
No, I think it's usually that rookie season or whatever, you're paying attention, and then you're moving back on to your own college team and the new wave of guys that have come through.
I think there may be one game, though, that I might watch on June 30th. We talked a little bit about this. I don't know if we talked about this on the air or off the air, but June 30th is the Phoenix Mercury taking on the Indiana Fever, and the Phoenix Mercury are already promoting and selling tickets for Diana Taurasi versus Caitlin Clark. Now, if there becomes sort of a rivalry with Diana Taurasi discounting what Caitlin Clark can be and sort of talking about, you know, not the GOAT, got to win a championship, Paige Beckers is better, you know, all of that stuff that was taking place on the Final Four broadcast there. If it becomes some sort of a rivalry, that might be fun, where I'm like, okay, June 30th, I'll check out this WNBA game with Phoenix versus Indiana, because Diana Taurasi is a brilliant player, one of the greatest women's basketball players.
Is she the best player right now in the WNBA? Who is it?
I don't know.
Sophie Cunningham, by the way, on that team, on Phoenix.
There you go. See? Awesome. So June 30th, you can check that out. Caitlin Clark, Boston that was on South Carolina last year, mm-hmm, that's on the Fever as well. So, you know, there are some stars that are heading to the WNBA, and Myron brought up a good point of, like, you know, staying power and some consistency with women's basketball is, he said, he feels like right now women's basketball could be a little bit like the early 2000s of men's basketball, when you had stars that were going to be stars at the next level that were also returning to school. And you knew, like, okay, this star is going to be around, that star is going to be around. Now, like, this guy's a star, he's gone. This guy's a star, he's gone the next year. The NIL has helped a little bit.
If he's good, he's gone to another college team.
Might be gone to another college team and switching, whereas, you know, Paige Beckers at UConn, Juju at USC.
Samaya Nichols from China Mission West over at KU was an outstanding freshman.
I shouldn't leave
her
out.
One of the best players in
awesome
the Big 12
this year. She was amazing.
And then Ioka Lee somehow still has eligibility left. She's coming back another
year.
Which is great
because now K-State becomes a contender, you know, with South Carolina, you know, with some of their players. Although they're still going to have an awesome team. But, like, you know, Ioka Lee, you get another couple of years from, you know, some other players in the surrounding cast. But you're right. The local players, there's some really good ones, too.
That post player from Iowa State, she was a freshman this year.
That's right.
What was her name?
I cannot remember her name.
She is tough to stop down low.
Yeah. Is she 6'7", though? She like,
she's
not.
Camila
Cardosa?
Like 6 foot, but...
she Camila Cardosa, 6'7"? It's just ridiculous, man. There are 6'7 post players on the men's side that can dominate, and she's 6'7 and just blocking shots and swatting stuff everywhere. Let's take a
time. Audie Crooks is her name.
Audie Crooks. Okay.
Audie Crooks.
Yeah, I was going to say, you Audie cook for everybody. I think you're just fine in the kitchen, you know? That's what I've heard.
They call me Guaranteed Foods.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, wrapping things up, hanging out with Mick Schaefer, presented by Empower Payments, KSHB 41 Sports Director. Royals are going to see the top pitching prospect for the Astros tonight. Spencer, is it Arrighetti?
Spaghetti.
Arrighetti Spaghetti.
Spencer Dave Righetti.
Is it a righty? Spencer Arrighetti taking on Seth Lugo, but the Astros calling up their top pitching prospect tonight to take on the Royals because they figured... all hands on deck to take the Royals on. I mean, we need everybody here. It's,
oh, is this his debut?
His MLB debut. Yes. He's a top pitching prospect. Is pitching tonight. So
listen, I felt like they got one back last night.
A I
game
totally
they
agree
should
with
have
that.
Lost, would have lost in a lot of years, and so it almost like it makes up for that that Baltimore game and the final game of the series.
Yeah, when they were up 3-0 and they lost 4-3.
Yes,
they gave up 2 in the 8th and 2 in the 9th.
It was the same score, wasn't it?
Yeah. Gave up 2 in the 8th. MacArthur got charged with 2, and Will Smith got charged with 2 in that game, and that's when everybody decided, myself included, that the 9th inning no longer needed to belong to Will Smith.
I decided the bullpen was horrible, and that was the last. That was the last run.
The last run. That was the last. Those were the last runs they gave up. Was that game against Baltimore? And now they've
decided they're great.
They are awesome
until they give up runs again.
They are 16 1/3 innings of perfect baseball of no runs. Okay, 16 strikeouts, 8 walks, in your face. Opposition.
I'm trying to read a little bit more about Spencer Arrighetti.
Is it Arrighetti?
Yeah, I think it's Arrighetti. Not Allegretti, of course. That'd be interesting if Nick Allegretti came back and was pitching against the Royals. Yeah.
Especially with his UCL being messed up. So
I'm trying to learn as much
as
I can about...
UCL, I mean, it is a epidemic. Everybody...
Allegretti's UCL?
He ruptured his UCL against the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Well, he played through it, so he's tough.
Right, because he
Why
said...
Why don't these baseball players do it? Because Allegretti can.
He threw too many sliders that game.
Caliendo told him, because Caliendo's going to school to be a doctor or a nurse. He's going to doctor school. And said you don't need a UCL to play guard.
I'm looking on the Houston
I'm trying to
Chronicle,
tell Spencer Strider you don't need a UCL to pitch, but that's whatever.
It's tough on the Houston Chronicle because they want to pay and so to keep backing out and getting back in to find the information before it,
he's
it cuts
a sixth
me out.
Round pick.
Yeah, he's a very high strikeout rate of those 5 pitches. I see up to 97. He'll probably live around the 94 to 97 range with his fastball, good curve, slider, and change.
Are we sure this is a debut?
He's about to get rocked.
Minor league. This is minor league 2-0 this year.
Yeah, you might want to look at the professional ones.
They hide the little I in there between the M and the L.
MILB.
MILB.
The MILB.com. Yeah. Went to TCU. Mm-hmm. TCU.
Sixth-round pick. Who was the number one prospect in their
number one pitching prospect.
He was the Astros minor league pitcher of the year last year.
Yep. So
that'll get you
Framel Valdez, I'm assuming, goes on the IL then, since he had his start skipped with elbow inflammation.
And Verlander,
which usually
is
there's
still
nothing
on
wrong
it.
With that. Yeah, Verlander's still on his way back, but elbow inflammation for Valdez, which isn't an issue. So
never is. Well, no. As long as it's the other elbow. Not the one.
That's a great point. It's actually his non-pitching elbow. He was punching.
He was
punching people.
It's going to hurt him on line drives back up the middle, but otherwise he's fine.
A really hard high five. Somebody came and just gave him a hard high five, and it messed up his UCL, we think. But there's inflammation there with the elbow. Cooking. He's been flipping a lot of things with the pan.
It happens.
A lot of omelets.
Yeah.
You think he cooks on the mound. I mean, this guy in the kitchen is really cooking.
Country breakfast is what he's cooking.
Gosh, what if he went up against country breakfast?
That'd be great. Or Italian breakfast. He needs to get going. Vinny.
Yes, he does. This Pasquatch. Program next.